This is the Yada Yada Podcast, where we get to the heart of the Christian sexual ethic with biblical truths and real talk about sex, purity, and relationships. We're your hosts, Ashley
and Amber
from Across My Heart Ministries.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Yada Yada Podcast. This is a bonus episode. We are going to be discussing the Barbie movie. I know.
Yes, we are.
We are a little late to the party. but you know what? It's a party nonetheless. No.
We're fashionably late.
Yes, there we go. Fashionably late.
We're talking about Barbie, so it's only appropriate.
This is going to be a special episode because it is going to be unscripted. Not that like everything that we say in our other episodes are scripted, but we have more like talking points that are scripted.
We don't know what we're
going to
say.
We are just going to discuss, and we actually already had recorded this episode.
Yeah.
And the recording got corrupted. Otherwise,
this would have been coming out 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it would have been coming out like during the hype of the Barbie movie.
Like 2 days after it released.
I mean, not that soon, but very, very following it closer.
Yeah, because we went to see the Barbie movie.
We did. We went
on the day it released.
We did. We went and saw it on opening night.
And why did we go see it on opening night, Amber?
Okay, so this is how she talked me into it. Because weren't we up at the cabin? Now, this has been like over a month. So, we were up at my parents' cabin. So, we were like an hour away from Grand Rapids.
Nowhere close to a movie theater.
Nowhere close to, well, I guess we shouldn't say that confidently. We don't know if there's a movie theater close to them because we've never looked. But nowhere close to a movie theater in town anyway. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to go see the Barbie movie tonight. Because we were driving back that day, that Friday. And I was like, oh my goodness. No, we're not. No, not. And she's just like, okay, let me just present my case. Okay?
Let me be the little sister that talks you into this.
We know that there's going to be stuff in it that we're most likely not going to agree with or love. And I think that we should go and see it before other people's commentary jades us.
Give us all the bad and negative reviews.
Yes, and gives us, you know. And so we wanted to have genuine reactions and genuine thoughts to it and not have it be because of somebody else's opinion.
Because
why we have our opinions.
Genuinely love Barbie.
We do.
And we realize that as a fashion
doll. Just like pause for a second there. When we say we genuinely love Barbie, like there's a lot of women
who are girls
who would be like, oh, I loved Barbie when I was little. You don't fully understand. We should probably put like pictures up with this podcast episode of our dollhouses
that our father
maybe
built
you
us.
Should take a picture of the map of Barbieton. Like we had a whole economy. Okay, we had a bank. Our dolls got paychecks. There were stores.
Weekly.
We had multiple different families, and like it was a whole universe that we created. Okay, we didn't like write a novel as children, but we created another world.
Would actually like grow up year by year.
They did. Like, Ashley genuinely had her doll pregnant for 9 months one time.
Yes, I did.
She had her doll pregnant for 9 months. So we loved Barbie growing up.
And we had to see the movie.
And we
had to have fun.
I mean,
doing
for
it.
Nothing more than nostalgia. Like, we had to go see the movie.
Yeah, and we had to wear pink. I made sure to put on my hot pink blazer and donned some pink lipstick.
And our parents actually went with us. They drove in with us.
Mandy from the Cross My Heart team joined us. And I gotta say, just from a style perspective, and, you know, from the nostalgia of growing up with Barbie, that alone, you know, not bringing in any of our, you know, Christian perspective and critique of the messages of the film, they hit it out of the park. They did so good. I mean, some of the things, like there's a dance off, and I love the scene when Ken wants to come over and she's like, oh, sure, I don't have anything big going on, just like a major blowout party. And that's totally how you play with Barbies as kids. Like, everything is just outrageous, and it's everything's a big deal all the time. They had, just these crazy outfits. They had the Barbie camper. They had the, you know, roller skating outfit. So, okay, just so you know, listeners, we are reviewing this movie as, like, truly Barbie fans. And so we might be coming off a little strong at the beginning. Like, this was amazing. And I think some conservative commentators would be like, you've just been bought out by the marketing and you've been brainwashed. Okay, let's get into a little bit of the messaging of the film. So now you kind of know where we're coming from. We went into this movie thinking, how is Hollywood going to ruin our childhood? but we were actually surprised to see that they captured some of the deepest themes of what Barbie's all about, like imagination, breaking stereotypes, and the bond of the child who plays with her. And of course, there's feminism, because that has been a big part of
Barbie from the beginning.
Yeah, Barbie from the beginning. I mean, Barbie went to the moon before women were even allowed to have credit cards.
Wow.
Barbie really did accomplish things before women in the real world accomplished those same things. And so that's why we want to talk about Barbie. You might be like, this is not the typical conversation that we're used to on yada yada. But she's iconic. It made $150 million opening weekend in the box office. And the majority of little girls, you know, have owned a Barbie doll. I had a statistic here. Oh, yeah. 90% of American girls between the age of 3 and 10 own at least one Barbie doll. So the messages matter. Mm-hmm. And the two things that the Barbie movie has been accused of, which we want to address, is that the Barbie movie is anti-mother and it's anti-man. So I want to unpack that. But first, Amber, would you give us like a brief overview?
The film starts with Barbie Land and everything is perfect, or at least they think it's perfect. All the Barbies feel like Barbie Land is perfect. And the main Barbie, because all of them pretty much are called Barbie. Hi, Barbie, is what they all shout back to each other.
Hi, Ken.
The main Barbie, played by Margot Robbie, she starts to have these thoughts of death and like starts having weird things happen to her, where all of a sudden her life is not quote unquote perfect anymore. And so she seeks out advice from Weird Barbie, who's played by Kate McKinnon, and she's like the Barbie that has somebody like took markers and drew tattoos on and chopped
Which,
their
by
hair
the way,
off.
She is
and...
just a highlight of the film.
Oh, she's yes.
Like if you watch the movie for nothing else,
she is
her performance is so funny. And we all had the doll that
if you had Barbie, then you had Weird Barbie.
Yeah.
Ours was named Chloe.
I know, that's a terrible story. So when Joseph and I picked out the name Chloe for our oldest daughter, I was like, oh wow, that's actually a name that I never had as a like Barbie doll or a baby doll growing
negative
up.
Negative associations.
Yeah, I don't have any negative associations. Like I didn't know a Chloe that was like a, you know, annoying or, you know, a bratty or so. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Like Chloe's a great name, and I'm surprised because it wasn't on my favorite list of baby names growing up. And so we'd chosen the name, we'd announced the name, and it was well after we had picked the name and everybody knew it, where I don't know if it was you said something to me or like I just occurred to me one day, I'm like, oh no, we
Chloe
did
is our weird Barbie
have a doll named Chloe. Yeah, and it was the weird Barbie. How did I forget about her? I guess because when you're in your 20s and that far removed from your Barbie days, you forget things.
So Barbie goes and seeks out advice from Weird Barbie, and Weird Barbie's basically like, well, someone in the real world is playing with you and is having these really depressing thoughts about life, and that's why your feet are flat and you have cellulite and you're thinking about death. And so, because those are all the things that happen to her. Mm. And so she tells her basically that she's going to have to go to the real world, find this girl, set things straight in order to fix Barbie Land, fix herself. So she embarks on this journey into the real world, and Ken joins her because Ken does not really have much of an identity in Barbie Land
on his own,
except to be observed by Barbie.
Which,
and
can I just put a pin on it right there? Like some people have gotten offended by that and they're like, this is a poor reflection of men, like just being losers, not having much of a role. But you have to understand, if you played Barbies, if you have a daughter who played Barbies, they usually had 20 Barbie dolls and maybe one Ken doll.
Yes, the ratio of Barbie and to Ken that you owned was
Ken would often 20 to 1. Yeah, get like forgotten in the bottom of the toy box,
uh-huh. Or showed up to be the boyfriend to take the girl out on a date.
Yep, and that was his only role. And you just because you're a little girl, and so you're not focused on playing with the Ken doll like he is, and so they're,
unless you're Ashley and you like to write these epic romances in the character.
Yeah, that's true. I did have
mostly sons.
Yeah, I did have a lot of Ken dolls. Well, but we were not the norm. Okay,
no, we weren't.
We had a lot of. I had like 17 children in my family.
You had like very complex storylines, but for the average girl, they usually did not have very many Ken dolls. And also something that people have not taken fully into consideration, or at least I don't feel like those who have been hypercritical of the Barbie movie have taken into consideration, is that the Barbies in Barbie Land are supposed to be being played with.
Yes.
In the real world. Yep. So each Barbie in Barbie Land is like being animated by a child in the real world. So, and so they're kind of like airheady.
All of them are. Not and just the men. The women are too.
And the women are too. They're all kind of airheady and simplistic. And even the ones that are supposed to have like super smart jobs like or win the Nobel Peace Prize. Like they still are silly. Simplistic and silly.
Like they're being played with by a child.
Because they're being played with by a child.
Yeah.
And so it's not like how a child sees the world. And so, yeah, to get offended by it, I feel like is a little bit of a waste of energy. And so Barbie goes into the real world and Ken joins her because he wants to kind of prove himself a little bit. And he really wants Barbie to like notice him more because he
doesn't want to just be the side character.
Doesn't just want to be the side character.
He wants to actually be her boyfriend.
He wants to be her, yes, he wants to be more important. And so they head into the real world. And when they get into the real world, Ken is amazed. He's amazed because so many men are holding important jobs where the men in Ken world, the Kens in Ken world, basically are there to talk to Barbie and to beach. To sit on, like, they don't have any careers.
Yeah.
They just are, they all are really, they're just like side characters.
Mm-hmm.
And all the trash men are women. Well, it's supposed to... the postmen are women. And, you know, every important job, pretty much every job, is done by a woman. And so Ken gets in the real world and there's like men who are doing all the jobs that women do.
Right.
In
and
but Ken
to
Land,
the extreme.
But also to the extreme.
So the director has talked about that. Like, she set up the real world to be a patriarchy. Like an extreme version of what our world is accused of being, where all the men are still running the show. And she set up Barbie Land to be the mirror opposite of that. So a matriarchy.
Yeah.
Yep. And so
there's supposed to be a contrast.
Those power dynamics, those differences in Barbie Land and in the real world. And when men run the show and when women run the show, what we're going to find is neither is actually good for
the other.
The other. Yep. And so that's where I think the message at the end of the movie ends up landing in a really good place. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. You're doing a good job.
So Barbie has to go and find this little girl that is playing with her. And Ken goes off to learn more about this amazing world.
And how it's different. And he sees a lot of horses.
He does. I don't know. He ends up like going to the library and picking up some books on patriarchy and horses and... maybe beer
a lot
or
of the
beer pong.
Founding
I don't know.
Fathers and like
rode horses.
Yeah,
and so he thinks that the patriarchy has to do with horses. That's one of the comedic relief points. And so yeah, so he's on this path, on this journey, or not journey. What do I want to say? Mission. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. On this mission to try to figure out what makes this world work, and she's on her mission to try to find this little girl. And so she finds a girl who she thinks it is, which is this teenager who she is
very troubled,
very harsh, very kind of follows a lot of the tropes and stereotypes of a teen today.
Yep. Gen Z opinions.
Very liberal worldviews and just like attacks Barbie for her. Kind of actually attacks Barbie for the things that a lot of feminists have been critical of Barbie for. Being like this, having this perfect body and making all these like what do I want to say? Ambitious goals for women that they could never live up to. Like, how many women get to be an astronaut? And now, you know.
Well, and it's interesting because Barbie has never been super popular with conservative Christians for those very reasons. Like, there was, you know, in the 80s and 90s, a big movement of, you know, moms not allowing their daughters to play with Barbie doll because she had real anatomical features and they thought, it, you know, it was inappropriate. And maybe mothers listening to this podcast fell into that, you know, camp of like really believing, hey, this is a overly sexualized doll and narrow it with its perception of beauty standards. Like maybe it's not even the anatomy of the Barbie doll's body, but it's, you know, of playing with a full grown woman. Maybe it's more of the idea that it's one stereotype of beauty. And so I would say in the early 2000s, Barbie finally got that messaging and started making Barbies in different shapes and sizes to be more inclusive of body size, body shapes, and listen to some of those concerns from parents. And so there's always been talk in conservative, like Christian circles, whether you were allowed to play with Barbie or not, but also with feminists. And that's what you're bringing up, Amber.
I feel like the teenage girl is the one who does.
Well, in this movie, people are saying, oh, it's a feminist charge. Barbie was really hated by feminists for a long time. Like, feminists didn't.
Although I do feel like when she was created in the 50s.
Yes, by Ruth
Handler. She was trying to
send a feminist message second wave feminism.
Yes, but it was the feminist message of you can do what you set your mind to.
Yep.
And you can be anything you want to be.
And very career focused.
Yes.
So you can have a man's job. So Barbie was definitely breaking stereotypes for women's empowerment in opening up opportunities for little girls to dream. And, you know, I guess we can talk about it right now instead of getting back to it later. One of the accusations is that Barbie is very anti-mother. And I want to be sensitive to that because I'm a mom and I love Barbie. And I, you know, don't want to promote a toy or a doll that's anti-mother. And so people have come down hard on Barbie, even with Ruth Handler founding her, saying that, oh, it was too career focused. It was, you know, there was never like the mom who, or the Barbie mom taking care of her kids and having a family. It was always about the career that you could have, and definitely sending a message in second wave feminism that women can have all these jobs. And Ruth Handler even said it herself that she wanted little girls to know that they didn't just have to play with baby dolls, that they could be something other than a mother, and that not every little girl is going to grow up to be a mother. And so to play with a grown doll and to be able to envision their future of all the possibilities of what they can be as a grown woman. And that's what that opening scene that's so disheartening is really taps into, is you have these little girls. I don't think we ever described the opening scene. It's shot for shot the same as Space Odyssey, where the monolith is, you know, coming down and all the apes see it and they start crushing the human skulls and the rocks. The little girls have their baby dolls and they see this giant Barbie walk across this barren wasteland. And as soon as they see her, they look at their baby dolls, suddenly dissatisfied, and they start smashing their babies against the rocks. And that that imagery is just so
gut-wrenching.
Yeah. And it's really sickening. And I think if you thought that the movie was promoting that message and saying, we want little girls to smash their baby dolls, well, then of course you'd be sickened by it. And that's what I thought when I saw the commercial. But after watching the film, what I realized the director was doing is she was actually making a statement about how Barbie was perceived at the beginning.
Oh, and at the beginning of the film,
when everyone hated her coming on the scene, she got so much backlash from mothers in the 1950s for that reason. Like, that's how she was perceived. But the goal was never to be anti-mother. The goal was to let little girls dream, but not to hate on the role of a mom. Ruth Handler had a daughter herself.
Yeah.
She named Barbie after her daughter, Barbara.
Yeah. And she was motivated by the daughter. By her
little girl. And in this movie, we see the coming together of a mother-daughter relationship, which you'll get to here in just a minute, which I realize I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just got into it, so I didn't want to stop. And at the end of the movie, at the very end of the movie, one of the landing points, one of the sticking points of the message after this long speech that America Ferrera gives, she has the idea that maybe there are little girls who want to play with an ordinary Barbie. Like, maybe Barbie doesn't always have to be going to the moon. Maybe Barbie doesn't have to always be doing these super impressive things to be worthy. Maybe there can be an ordinary Barbie. And what she lists with that is a Barbie who's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
In a secular film, a reminder that being a mom is just as viable of an option.
And if a mother is one of those things that you want to be, like, that is just as valuable. Mm-hmm. And so I think Greta actually lands the messaging in that place where it's a viable option. And it's sadly a message that our world needs, that motherhood is a viable option.
Mm-hmm.
While I would actually say that Christians still need to be told that being a career woman is a viable option. Because there are a lot of single women in your church who will not get married and will not have children, and they are just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says that it is good for them to be single.
Mm-hmm.
And they are powerhouse women making a difference for the gospel. Tara Lee Cobble of the Bible Recap. Lauren Daigle. I think she's single. And her amazing contribution to Christian music. Like, these are women who are career women. Mm-hmm. They're making a difference in the kingdom. And they're not mothers. And so
I think that it actually lands in a good place. You just have to give it the time.
Motherhood.
And you have to realize what the director is trying to do with that opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you just watch that opening scene, you'll definitely think Barbie's anti-mom, just like she was accused of at the beginning of her debut and at the beginning of the film. Good storytelling on the director's part.
We played with our dolls as being moms. So that's like another thing to consider. Barbie's kind of amoral, kind of like money. Like, it's how you use it, how you use her, how you play with her that matters. And so Amber and I projected our values onto our dolls.
Yeah, so Barbie comes across the teenage girl and ends up realizing that she is not the one who is playing with her. And so she gets confused. And meanwhile, the executives at Mattel realize that they have a Barbie on the loose in the real world. And they have kicked it into gear to try to re-box her and get her back into Barbie land. And so they're on the hunt for her, and America Ferrera's character hears about this. She overhears it because she happens to be a secretary there at the, or an administrative assistant at the Mattel headquarters. And she goes on the hunt sort of as well, and ends up finding her and realizing that she's there because of her. Because America Ferrera's character and her daughter, who's the teenager that Barbie finds and thinks is the one playing with her, used to bond over playing dolls Barbies. Together.
Yes, and that's they like play a really Barbies sweet together. Mother-daughter moment, It is a moment very too. Sweet
moment. Yes, and so we have this mother-daughter that team up. And in her teenage years, the daughter has grown a little more distant and America Ferrera's character just doesn't really know how to connect with her anymore. And so she ends up digging out all their old Barbies and sort of reminiscing.
Just gets really depressed and sad.
Yeah, she just gets really depressed and sad about it. Her child's
grown up.
And so then that's why Barbie ends up getting depressed and sad in Barbie land. And so Barbie thinks that she has to take them back to Barbie land in order to kind of reconnect their mother-daughter relationship. Well, Ken has gone before her and has decided that he is going to take his newfound knowledge about the patriarchy and how the world works outside of Barbie Land and bring it to Barbie Land and establish
and it's just,
his own it's world funny. Order. And it really is.
And that's where you have to have, if you're the type of person that has that self-aware humor,
then you're going to find it funny.
Yes.
You're the kind of person who's going to get
offended
by stereotypes, or annoyed by stereotypes.
Or maybe you just don't like stupid jokes.
Perhaps because they reveal too much about you. Then, But if you're gonna, then you're not gonna find it funny, and that's But it's not like the Barbie movie has to be a movie that you enjoy. It's not a movie for everybody. It's not. No. It's definitely not.
And it's PG-13, so you know we like what Amber said. She's surprised that it didn't have as much sexual humor as she was expecting. There are still a few jokes.
There are.
And so, you know, I would say use that discretion.
However, there was not anything LGBTQ.
No. No, actually, one of the big talking points for conservatives was that there was going to be a trans Barbie.
And I would not have even have known if Ashley had not told
me.
She had not told me. Because I would not have realized.
Actress. Role was Barbie, a Barbie doll.
Uh-huh.
But you would have never known. Like, they weren't trying to make a statement. The Barbie didn't go from being a Ken to becoming a Barbie.
No, they didn't. There wasn't
anything weird about it.
I kept waiting.
They were a side character who had a few lines. If you would never have known that this wasn't.
And I kept waiting for there to be like a gay joke. But or like a gay Ken or something. No. I don't know. And there wasn't. There was, I guess, one guy who like says something to Ken in the real world. I guess
in there's the
one,
real. Yes.
I guess there's one guy who hits
who
on
like
him.
Winks at him.
Yes.
But even that, it's pretty subtle, I would say. Also, you're not going to be watching this with your little kids.
No, it's not. I would not.
So by the time it's not for little kids. So it's by the time your teenager wants to see this and maybe you're watching it with them, like that, they're not going to not know that. About gay and lesbian. And that
they exist. But it would definitely, there was not anything major to the plot or major to any of the characters or any of their development that had anything to do with LGBTQ.
And there wasn't any signaling, like a virtue signaling, like this is a good and just way to live. Like this is, there wasn't any messaging for LGBTQ.
So I was surprised by that. I was waiting for it and it didn't happen.
No. So it was funny. When Ken comes in, so he tries comes to take over
and it
the
basically
world.
Is like horses and mini fridges with beer and then the Godfather
and
the Barbies,
hand and foot.
Yes, like, and then the Barbies
basically being their mates,
waiting on the Ken's hand and foot, and all the Barbie houses turn into Ken super. Casas, I can't remember what he calls
super
it.
Super casa dojo house.
My dojo casa super house or something like that. And yes, it's all pretty.
And
it's
Ryan
pretty
Gosling
comical.
Has.
They
a
all
song,
play guitar.
It's funny. I'm just kidding.
Well, yes, he has a song. Anywhere oh, please don't I sing it because there was down. One night that I could not fall asleep because it was running through my
it
head.
It is a really funny song.
I cannot listen to it or it runs in my brain. It's like earwormy for me, so I can't. I have to avoid it like the plague.
La, 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 la.
But they all like play guitar and they have like they like to serenade the Barbies and
my favorite really self-aware moment, and this is where I think people who are saying that this is a feminist claptrap and they're just trying to make men look stupid and they're trying to say that women run the world and that's the way things should be, they miss this moment where. When Barbie ran the world, there was a night in the dream house where Ken wants to hang out. And she's like, I can't. It's girls' night. Every night's girls' night.
Yes.
And he leaves feeling very sad.
And defeated.
And defeated.
Because he just wants to spend time with her.
Alone. Yes. And she doesn't care because she's in power and she's got the control and she's not thinking about
it. Well, and it's not. Yeah. She just doesn't even realize it. Like, it's not like she's trying to be mean.
No. She's just oblivious. So then
she's completely oblivious.
In the scene where Ken's running the show.
After Barbie has come back with America Ferrera and her daughter.
Yeah. And sees everything's changing. She asks to talk to Ken and Ken goes to kind of give her a taste of.
Her own medicine. Oh, he does it on purpose.
But the message, it's like such a good parallel because he then says, you know, I'm sorry, I can't. It's guys' night.
And actually,
can hang out with the bros.
Every night is guys' night.
Yep.
And she just, like, looks at him.
And realizes.
And then he goes, how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it just, I love that parallel, because that moment made me realize what they were doing in the movie. They weren't trying to say,
the patriarchy is bad.
The matriarchy is good.
The matriarchy is good. The matriarchy is bad.
No.
They were giving criticisms of
both.
Where when either one has total power, you know, they end up using it to oppress the other. Mm-hmm. And realizing that, you know, men and women working together. Mm-hmm. That is where, in both worlds, in the real world and in Barbie land, their societies are going to be better for it. When they recognize that every person has something to offer, mm-hmm. that men and women both have something to offer. And I think that's where the, as a Christian, our Christian worldview can kind of speak for itself, because we can kind of nod our head in agreement, like, oh yeah, you realize that all along, like, having power isn't the answer. And also that men and women both have something unique to contribute, and respecting each other. Because I think that it follows like a kind of a Marxist storyline for a while. I was worried, like, oh no, Barbie is, you know, oppressed, and then she's trying to take over. Ken's oppressed and he takes over. Then Barbie's oppressed, and so then she tries to take over. And that's very, like, much Marxist. Like, if you're the oppressed party, all of your problems are going to be solved by being the one in power. Mm, and it actually shows, when you follow the ideology to the end, power isn't the solution. No, and then when Barbie gets the power back in the end, like we said, she allows for equality. Not equity, but equality.
So then they end up having to
work together.
Because all men, of the women. Barbies are sort of a little bit, I don't know, dazed, I would say. In this new patriarchy, they kind of forgot.
Well, they're supposed to be like in a trance.
Yeah, they're kind of like in a trance.
And so they're supposed to have to like wake up.
Yeah, so they have to wake.
And that's where people say, oh, it's a woke messaging, because they're saying they need to wake up to the realities of the patriarchy. Mm. But
it is kind of one of the feminist, though. I would say that maybe that's one of the more feminist moments probably in the film, because feminism is very much so like, you don't realize how oppressed you are until I tell you how oppressed you are.
However, I would say that the version they were experiencing was true oppression. Like, if they were trying to mirror...
Yeah.
If they were trying to
mirror... Yeah, what the Barbies were actually...
Yeah, 1950s housewives, where, you know, 60s feminism was telling them, you know, you need to wake up to the reality that you're unhappy taking care of your husband and your children and having these, you know, domestic lives. You need to wake up out of that dreamland because you're not satisfied. That's not what they were saying. They were women. The Barbies were being treated as maids, very exaggerated by male chauvinists.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, you wouldn't look at that and say, oh, I want that for my little girl. No. I would have had a problem with it if Barbie Land showed domestic 1950s housewife mom taking care of her kids, and the feminist saying, this isn't what you want. No, they showed true chauvinism, and that is bad. Mm-hmm. We don't want that for our girls.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to wake up to the realities of sin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're calling people to do as Christians, right?
Yeah.
Like, open your eyes, because you are very much being fooled and complacent in a world of sin. And we need to be aware of the part that we play in it, how we're being complacent, and take responsibility. So again, it depends on your interpretation.
Yeah. Yep. So they end up ending, the Barbies take Barbie Land back over. And, but they realize, or I should say they've learned something. Perhaps Ken needs a bigger role than just being Ken.
Yep. In Barbie Land.
Maybe he needs to be able to do something.
Well, and being Ken is enough is kind of their whole message there. Mm-hmm. But they invite him. They invite Ken. To play a part.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realize Ken is valuable.
And this is where I personally feel like this is one of the more anti-woke moments in the film. Because one of the Ken's like, speak up. And, like, well, actually a few of them speak up. One of them is like, can I be a garbage man? And they're like, yeah, you could be a garbage man. And then one of them is like, can I be a Supreme Court justice? And the Barbie's like, the President Barbie's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe we should start with a local circuit court. And, but she doesn't say, first of all, she doesn't say no. Mm. She doesn't say no, which is like Ashley was saying, it was like that inviting them in.
Yeah.
But she doesn't just say, oh yeah, you want to be a Supreme Court judge? Yeah, we need to make things. Now that we recognize that we shouldn't just be running the show.
Now that we recognize our equality.
Yes. Now that we recognize our equality, we should just make things equal. That's not what they do. Instead, she says, you have to start at a lower court and you can work your way up. And we'll see what happens through opportunity, which is how women work their way up. They mm-hmm. work their way up through opportunity.
And the narrator even says that.
And then, yeah, does she? Okay. Yeah, she does. But
that's equality.
Truly woke would have been about equity.
Yeah.
It would have been about equal outcome. And Ken would have just been a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, and had equal number of seats on the Supreme Court.
We're equal, so everything should be... It's equity, equal outcome. Equality is not equity. Equality is equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the message actually... The underlying message right. was, is giving the Kens now... The equal opportunity
yeah.
to participate
and to
in
build a world
Barbie Land.
Together. Men
but they're
and
not
women.
Just going to start off at the top. Like, they're going to have to work for it.
Yep.
And women
they're work together for
had
it.
To work for it.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it creates a vision of not just returning to Barbie Land, but creating a better Barbie Land. They're creating a better world mm-hmm. where men and women are working together, which I think is the true ideal, right? Is mm-hmm. is the way God designed the world to work. That there isn't one sex that is dominating with all the power, but that they're recognizing the equality. And maybe that looks like different roles. Maybe that looks like, you know, different ways that men and women bless the world with their giftings and mm-hmm. their pursuits, but they're working together and they're not sidelined.
Yeah.
And that's the world where Barbie ends, with America Ferrera saying there's going to be ordinary Barbie who wants to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Barbie anti-mother? Is Barbie anti-man? I don't think so. I think if you're looking for the nuances, I mean, sure, you can get caught up on the stupid little jokes like they make fun of the pregnant Midge doll mm-hmm. throughout the movie. Which was a doll, if you're not familiar with Barbie, that they sold where the baby would hide and tuck away into a pregnant stomach
that was
magnetic onto the Barbie's torso. And it created some awkward situations for little children discussing how do babies come out, where do babies come from. Yes.
Barbie didn't have all winning ideas, though. They had, like, growing up Skipper, who, like... grew, and I'm pretty sure her chest grew.
Yeah, her breasts grew.
Yeah.
Like it was supposed to be.
Not all their ideas were winners over the year.
And she went to go from a little girl to, like, a teenager. So, yeah, they had to poke fun of themselves a little bit. And I think, again, the more familiar you are with Barbie, the more you played with her growing up, and maybe you know the background of some of those jokes, they're going to be funny. Mm-hmm. Like, even the Alan doll. Like, mm-hmm. if you aren't familiar with Barbie, you're watching the movie, be like, who's Alan? But if you played Barbies, you know Alan, you know the pooping dog from mm-hmm. the weird Barbie house.
Tanner.
One of the toys we played with, Tanner. I love that you still know its name. Mm-hmm. And so you recognize the characters, and you just have fun with it. But overall, the two accusations, is it anti-mother? Is it anti-man? I think, again, you can pick at that. You can look for those things. You can look for those messaging. But there's too many nuances and counterpoints that we're making in this podcast mm-hmm. To say that that's what the message the director was
also,
trying to send.
The Ken has been accused of being... like the male characters in the movie, because Will Ferrell also plays kind of a dumb character, been accused of being. Alan was not dumb.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Alan was not dumb.
Right. Give it up for Alan.
I mean, he was innocent, but he wasn't dumb.
Right.
So.
And again, most of all the women, all the Barbies were
also airheads.
Yes, airheads. So it's just not fair to choose to be offended by those things.
I mean, Ben Shapiro, the movie wasn't made for you.
I know.
His review is probably the one that irked me the most.
I understand why you didn't like it. Like, I get it. I don't like
Michael Reeves. Is that what his name is? Who also...
Michael Knowles.
Michael Knowles.
He almost was too generous.
No, he was almost... Yeah, I think it's accidentally anti-woke. I think it's accidentally anti-woke. You can get these really generous pro-mother messages. You can get pro-woman, a biological woman. Oh, that's the other thing forgot to mention.
Oh, the very ending.
And then the equality over equity. I mean, all these things that we're looking for, I think they were accidentally there. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do believe the director is a feminist, mm-hmm. and she probably is pretty woke according to your definition of the term. But the movie wasn't super preachy. But there was a hilarious moment at the end of the movie that had to have been included by accident. Like, they could not have thought this one through. Because at the end of the film, after Barbie fixes Barbie Land, she has the opportunity to decide what to do next. Mm-hmm. And she decides that she wants to go back to the real world and become mm-hmm. a real woman.
Well, she has... Yeah, because you brought up the creator.
Yeah, and I'll get to that in a second. But okay. Let me finish this thought, because otherwise I'm going to lose people. So they go to the real... She goes to the real world at the end. And the punchline is she gets dropped off...
You think she's going in for her job first interview. Day on the job or a job interview.
Yeah, she checks in at a front desk.
She's so nervous.
They ask her name, and she's a real woman. She's in the real world. And she says, I'm Barbara Handler. And they said, all right, your gynecologist will be right with you. And she's having her first gynecology appointment. The screen goes black.
No, she says, and I'm here to see my gynecologist. Oh, she's the one who says it because she's so excited about going to see.
And I'm here to see my gynecologist.
Yes.
And then the screen goes black. And it just had to have been an accident to include that, because with all the conversations going around about what makes a real woman... Uh-huh. For her to go to the real world, become a real woman, and what validates her is her biological
yes.
sex.
Yes.
The reality of her female parts, that she's a real woman.
You can't keep track of all the things you're supposed to
I know. It made me laugh. I was laughing for more than one reason. I was laughing because it was just a cute, funny scene. And then I was laughing because I thought, wow, talk about culture wars. Like, they just really...
But it hasn't been... I'm sure there's been criticism on that point. But it is done phenomenal.
The Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and so Michael Reeves, going back, or Michael Knowles. Knowles.
Michael Knowles.
Who's Michael Reeves? Oh, he's one of my favorite authors of A Book on the Trinity.
totally not the same person.
Michael Knowles said that he thought that they were being purposefully anti-woke. Like, he thinks that the director, because she was raised in the Catholic tradition in the faith, that she was including these things to, like,
I think that probably more pause. So speaks to the testament of, like, when you're raised with a certain set of values,
right? She does value family, she does value,
it's ingrained in you a little bit, and it's gonna come up in different... I mean, the Bible says train a child the way they should go, and they'll not depart from it.
Interestingly,
you know?
Enough, she said she was inspired by, like, Paradise Lost, mm-hmm. and even the Genesis story, this mm-hmm. idea of you know, this perfect world where things go wrong and things aren't the way they're supposed to be, and then them, like, working to restore that. And so you see that redemptive story throughout the film where they land in a much better place at the end. But that brings up the ending mm-hmm. and her encounter with her creator. So at the end of the film, not the very last scene, but towards the end, we see Ruth Handler, Barbie's creator, walking down the road, and Barbie gets a chance to meet her maker in this very spiritual scene, if you will. She's whisked away up into the closet. She gets a chance to ask her creator, what is her meaning? What is her purpose in life? And in true existential fashion, her creator does not tell her her meaning and purpose. Ruth tells her she essentially gets to choose for herself. And isn't that the message of our culture today? That we choose within ourselves what our own meaning and purpose is. And it's sad, because as Christians, we have the peace of knowing that we were created for more than just our own wants and whims and desires. We have a true purpose and meaning. like the Westminster Catechism says, our purpose is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. Our Creator has instilled within us intentional meaning and purpose and calling on our lives. I mean, even in scripture, you see from the very beginning of the cultural mandate to fill the earth and subdue it, and then the Great Commission to go and tell, and these commandments of loving God and loving others, we have direction and value and purpose in our lives. They're filled with joy and peace and love, and it's fulfilling. And yet our culture doesn't see that. It just sees, how can I do what I want to do and be my own God? And so the Barbie movie ending on that note it's sad, and it's revealing of where our culture's at, but it's bigger than just a Barbie problem. I would say it's every Hollywood movie ever. And it makes me even more grateful that we have in the Word of God such great purpose and meaning from a Creator that has an intentional design. Like we've talked about in our other episodes. I mean, even from whether we're created male or female, right? God does all those things intentionally, and he has purpose for our lives, and we can rest in that. So it, like I said, it's not just a Barbie problem. This is a bigger cultural problem that we see across all of Hollywood. You don't watch a movie thinking it's going to reflect Christian values and culture.
No.
However, it does reflect certain truths about the way that our world works and to what end it leads. And so I think it's very revealing that a movie that's supposed to be espousing feminism ends up showing the weaknesses of those, of that movement as well. The truths of where it leads, how it can hurt, and that we're truly better off working together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that was a fun bonus episode. And if you guys liked this, that we did something a little bit different, a little less structured, a little more just Amber and I chatting, comment and let us know, you know, write us and tell us that you like these things.
Maybe we'll have to do some more cultural
commentary. Yeah, it's a little different. So let us know your thoughts. And if you liked the Barbie movie, or if you absolutely hated it and why, maybe you don't agree with our perspective. But if you haven't seen it, I think it's worth a watch. And we'll get back to our regular episode list next week or two.
I like how you added the art too.
Okay. Get back into regular recording now that fall's here.
Yeah. Mom life.
Until next time.
No.
And be known.